According to history.com, on October the 11th, 1971, sees the release of this song as one of the most influential songs of the 20th century. Though the song never uses the word love, the whole premise of the song is a world that is nothing but love. No borders, no hunger, no greed or war, only a brotherhood of man sharing all the world. Gary, what is the song and who wrote it?
John Lennon.
We got it. Imagine by John Lennon. And we're now seeing the mass belief of this philosophy in this generation like we've never seen it before. Of the belief that of what Lennon was singing. The premise, as noble as it may seem, has no foundation on which to be built. The possibility of Lennon's world, or should we say Yoko Ono's world, he wrote it based on a poem or something that she had written, it's really not possible at all. Why not? Why is it impossible for humans to just love each other, to just get along, to just, as we see the bumper sticker, we've seen it for years, but I'm seeing it more and more, coexist? Well, the scripture says these things and more, but just scripture says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Scripture says that no one does good. Scripture says that every man that will do what is right in his own eyes. We read that in Judges. We read in Scripture that there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And we could read so many more barriers to what Lennon was writing because of no foundation. So the problem which Lennon and Ono overlooked is that people really do not have the capacity nor the ability nor really the righteous desire to love in such a perfect way. See, Lennon completely dismissed the capability, ability, and the foundation for which true love exists when he wrote and sang these words. And imagine, he said, imagine there's no heaven. That's the way the song starts out. He starts out with that premise. Imagine there's no heaven. He says, it's easy if you try. Imagine there's no hell. Only above is what, sky or something like that, which the airport named after him. That's their motto in London. And he also says, he goes on to say, and imagine there's no religion too. T-O-O. See, Lennon was seeking to build a house of world love with no footers and no foundation. He was imagining a love with no source. Think about that for a minute. He was imagining a love with no source at all. Another John, some 1900 years before Lennon, wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit some words of truth about love. This John was not imagining. This John was writing from reality, for he had walked with Jesus. He had been with Jesus. The love he wrote about was built upon the eternal, infinite foundation of God. And so the advent of Christ, God's Son, is the advent of love into the world. Not to be imagined, but to be known and lived within. John tells us that. So let's read 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at it. We read it this morning already in our Advent reading. It's in this passage that John tells us two wonderful truths that we as believers need to embrace And not only to embrace it, but we also need to be considering it. We need to do like Mary. Mary pondered these things when the angel spoke to her. We're told that she pondered these things in her heart. We need to ponder the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts. We embrace it, we believe it, but we also need to think about it. Meditate on it, ponder it, consider it during this Advent season. And two of those things that John writes about is true of the Advent. The fact is, the first one is that love has come to you from God. God's love has come to you. Let that sink into your heart and mind for a moment. God has loved you, and He's given to you His love. God's love has come to you. And if 1 John 4:8 is true, and it is, it says God is love, then if God has given His love to you, and here's what we really need to embrace and to consider. If God has given His love to you, then He has given Himself to you. If God is love and God has given His love to you, then God has not just given you an abstract thing called love. He has given to you and to me Himself, because He is love. So not only do we have love, we have God who is love. We read from Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23, where God gives a special name to His Son. He calls Him, He'll be called Emmanuel. And Matthew goes on to explain that word to us. It means God with us. And John tells us in 1 John 4, verses 9 through 10, which we read earlier, that the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world. This is love. He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Three times in this whole context, John uses the word sent. God sent His Son. Sent. He sent Him, His Son, to us. And not only was Jesus sent to us by the Father, He tells you specifically that Jesus was made manifest to us. Gary read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and He dwelled among us. He set up His tent among us. Manifest. Manifest means to make evident to the eye or understanding. Manifest means to show plainly, to prove, to put beyond doubt or question. That's what manifest means. So John says that God has plainly shown and made evident beyond a shadow of a doubt His love to you in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God with us, without a shadow of a doubt, because He's been made manifest to you. And so God has not only given His love to you, He's given His love to you the only way He can give His love to you. And that is, He's given you His Son. He's given us His Son. So how does that impact you? It impacts you and it impacts me greatly. We can ask the questions, do you need grace in your life for something that is going on right now? Do you need grace in your life for something that is going on right now? Maybe a struggle with sin. A quiet sin. A quiet sin of your heart. It may be a sin that you, words that went out of your mouth that you wish you could retract this past week, that you said to someone. Do you need grace? Because there's a battle in your heart to truly believe God. Not believe in Him, you believe in Him, but truly believe what He said about you or about this situation or about something that somebody is maybe doing to you. Do you really believe Him? Do you need His grace, a needed answer for a life decision? You have a decision to make. Do you need His grace? Here's the thing. Because Christ has been manifest to us, because God has sent and given us His Son, you have it. What do you mean, I have it? You have Christ. You have Christ. God's love has come to you because you have His Son. Do you need strength in your life? Maybe to overcome a temptation. Maybe you need strength. Maybe you're thinking that you just need it just to make it through one more day. Lord, if I can just get through this day, I need your strength for today. You have it in Jesus. Because God's love has come to you. Do you need mercy in your life? Maybe you need forgiveness for that same old familiar sin that just seems to keep rearing its ugly head and you seem to keep succumbing to it every time. And you try to put it off, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, you get untangled from it, and the next thing you know, you're tangled up in it again. Maybe you need to be rescued. You need His mercy to rescue from a situation that you've gotten yourself into. You have it. You have His mercy. How do I have His mercy? Because you have Christ. How do I have His grace? You have Christ. How do I have His strength? The strength I need. You have Christ. He is those things. Yes, we still need specific answers and things and situations, but you have Him. You have Him. How often do I need to be reminded of this? You see, I don't have a religion which causes me to search for some elusive answer out there. I don't have to go up on some mountain and burn some incense and cross my legs and do some chant in order to try to find some elusive answer to some elusive question. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Or something of that nature. Because I have a relationship. I don't need to have a religion. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says that you are in Christ. You are in Him. He is your answer. He is your grace. He is your strength. He is your mercy. So when I'm weak, I not only seek Him for strength, what do? I rest in Him who is strength. When I'm struggling in the world, I not only seek Him for victory, I trust in the one, Christ, who has overcome the world. I trust in Him. When I need peace in my heart, I not only seek Him for peace, I embrace Him who is peace. And this is the manifest love of God to you. If you're not quite believing this is true, let me read this to you again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. In Christ. That we might live through Him. In this is love. This is where Lennon missed it. You see, in this is love. In Christ, in eternal life in Jesus Christ, in this is love. This is the source. This is the foundation. Not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. That propitiation, that's the word that means it makes us right before Him. Vertically. Our sins are forgiven. Since this is true, then the rest of what John wrote about God's love is true in you as well. The second truth, God's love you are to give. we look at verses 11 and 12 of 1 John, as well as verse 21, which we haven't read yet, but we can read it in this context. He says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," we've got that. He says, "We also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." In verse 21, John even brings it down to a command. "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." When we went through 1 John, we talked about the fact that John doesn't mince words. John was not this little meek little guy that we have medieval pictures of around. John makes it pretty clear to us. John's been around longer than all the other apostles at this point. He's probably in his 90s. And he's lived for Christ, some 60 plus years. And he makes it pretty clear to us that if we have the love of God in us, we must show his love to the church. We've got to look at the context of this. John is writing to the church. And we're not saying you can't love anybody else. But in this context, John is writing to believers. Which brings home his truth about, he writes in his Gospels that the world will know that we are truly his disciples if we love each other. This is a truth which John has no tolerance for not believing and living. I mean, you read 1 John, he makes it clear. A whole chapter, and plus he comes over from 3 and even goes into 5. So I'm talking about this. In both his gospel account, we just referenced, and here in 1 John, he makes sure that any Christian reading or hearing read his writings understands that if you claim to profess to be a Christian, then you better be loving every other Christian in the world. Every Christian in the world. Not just those that are like us. Every Christian in the world. If you do not have a continued practice of loving all other Christians, then John declares this, that God's love is really not in you. If you really do not love every other Christian in the world, then John says you really do not have the Father in you at all. And that you really don't know Jesus Christ. So check yourself. Paul admonishes us to check ourselves. Even in Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, I believe, maybe 2 Corinthians. But to check ourselves to see if the Spirit of Christ actually dwells in us. God, this is an eternal question. This question has eternal consequences to it. If I'm not a believer and I die, then Lennon's wrong. You won't be imagining there is no hell. Because it will. It's real. And it's true. And so this is something eternal. To see whether or not you really love other Christians. If not, it may be that you need right now, before another moment goes by, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, so that the love of God will be manifest in you. And so John makes it clear, if God's love has come to you and abides in you, then his love will flow out of you for the church, God's people, whether it be Grace Christian Fellowship or whether it be Abingdon Baptist, as we prayed this morning for them this morning, or whether it be any other believer in the world. His love has come to you and is then given to you through the church. A few moments ago, we talked about some needs that you may have before God. Maybe the need of grace, the need of strength, the need of mercy. And I want to bring this part of loving each other, the church, kind of into focus here. Think about how often you have sought the Lord for something, and he answered and he gave it to you through another Christian. Think about that for a minute. How often you have sought the Lord and he answered your prayer, your seeking, through another Christian. Another Christian who was loving you and may not even knew it at the time. Another Christian who was loving you because the love of God was abiding in them. And God answered your prayer through that other Christian. It's important that we love each other. John even declares again from his gospel that that is the litmus test of your salvation. Here in 1 John, where we talked about blessed assurance, it is almost his complete litmus test. That and the fellowship with the Father are the litmus test of whether you're really saved in Christ. And John says, Lennon's saying that we could love apart from Jesus, but he was wrong. Because it still is not happening. Since 1971, it still hasn't happened. And it won't happen. Because it can't happen without Christ. That's why John over and over and over says, love each other. Let the world see your love for each other bears testimony of the realness and the trueness of Jesus Christ. And John says the very reason we can love each other is the truth that God has first loved us. Love has come. Now, what are some ways that you can love other Christians? It's a non-rhetorical question. What are some ways that you can love other Christians?
Helping them?
Pray for them.
Encourage them.
Meet the need, if possible, sure. Or make sure that if you can't do it, you help find somebody who can. Sure. Resourcing is a great ministry. You know that? How about speaking the word of the Lord to someone in the right way, in the right tone, in the right context? Sure. We can misuse the word of the Lord to beat somebody down instead of encourage them, can't we? Let's dig a little deeper. Let's think a little deeper and a little wider into God's love. A Christian man walks in here and he hasn't had a bath for 4 days. How do you love him? He's like Lazarus. He stinketh. How do you love him?
Give him a hug.
Give him a hug. A number one. You betcha. Because you can bathe later, can't you?
Yep.
That's exactly right. Where's he going to sit?
I'm sitting next to you.
Right next to you. You betcha. Where's he going to take a bath?
In your house.
In your shower. Wouldn't that be a great thing? You bet. Where's he going to eat? At your table, or take him with you. A brand new Christian comes into your Grace Connection group and uses some colorful language out of habit. Woo! How do you love her?
Sit with her next to church.
Christy? What did you say? What did you say? What are some ways you could love her?
Accepting.
Sure. How about teaching? That's what discipling is about, you know. Because when you became a Christian, you didn't know everything, did you? How many of you were like compulsive liars before Jesus saves you? How many of you still, after it saves you, you would still every once in a while and still struggle? That was your habit with lying. Sure. And then you begin to read the word, or somebody began to teach you the word that says lying. This is why, you know, we don't just say thou shalt not lie. Well, yeah, but why? Because God is truth. And now you know the God of truth. And so we go through, we disciple. That's discipling. A Christian visits here at Grace and is looking for a Christian family to love him. The catch is he looks completely different than anybody in this room. How do we love him?
Talk to him. Ask questions that are appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people just want you to understand them.
Sure. Sure.
Listen to him.
Hey, very good. Yeah. How about we're going to eat? I hadn't had plans to eat, but maybe I hadn't had plans to go get something to eat, but now I'm going to change my plans because I have the opportunity to take this young man or this older man and let's go get something to eat. So I'm afraid sometimes we think we can pick and choose the Christians that we're going to love and the ones we're going to kind of ignore or say, That's somebody else can do better at that than me. They're better at doing that than I am. And we can't think that way. God has called all of us to love all Christians. God has called all of us to love all Christians. And many times that love is an uncomfortable love, if you say. A love action that takes you out of your so-called comfort zone. Well, let me say this. Please, never use comfort zone. Just take it completely out of your vocabulary as an excuse for not doing something for Jesus. I doubt very seriously there was a comfort of Jesus going to the cross. I doubt very seriously. I doubt very seriously there was a comfort in Paul saying, I need to go to Rome and see the emperor. To use a comfort zone excuse is sin. It's sin. Especially when it comes to loving other Christians. So knowing that, let's ask a question. How is God calling you to love another brother or sister in the Lord? How is God calling you to love another brother or sister in the Lord? They may be a brother or sister here at Grace. They may not be. They may be a brother or sister that attends another congregation, local congregation. You may have been disobeying by using excuses, but how do you need to obey now and move from that disobedience to obedience at this point? How is God calling you, maybe, what about the other end, how is God calling you to let another brother and sister love you? What is it, Mom, you always told me? It's just important to be a good receiver as it is a giver. How many times have I heard that? How many times do I need to hear that, I think? See, God may be giving you his love to another Christian, and you're keeping that from happening by not accepting his love through them. Well, John Lennon wrongly believed that we could actually love apart from God. John the disciple rightly declares, we love because he first loved us. Why? Because Emmanuel has come. And because Emmanuel has come, Jesus has come, love has come. And not only do we give the love of God to our brothers and sisters in Jesus, we are also called, and this is where we're also called to proclaim his love to those who do not know his love, to a lost and dying people around us. See, there's a world full of Lennons. There is. There's a world full of John Lennons. Those believing and trusting in humanity. Those who think that humanity itself can bring forth love and peace and joy and salvation if we just try a little harder and do a little better. See, Lenin could only imagine. And what he was imagining was not even possible. But you and I know the truth. We know the manifestation of the love of God. God's love demonstrated what? Romans 5:8. And while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated it. And this is a season to tell others about God's love. More people will listen to you this month than any other month of the year. So we've got this. Today's the first. So we've got all month long. So people are a little more open this time of year to hear of God's love than most any other time of the year. And I understand the Spirit of God is greater than a month and a season. I understand that. But just culturally, we have a month to be able to do that. So the advent of God's love has come. So the call for us is to embrace it, to live it, and to tell it. Let's pray. Father, you are good, and we just pray for your goodness to work in our hearts even now as we trust you and obey you and look to you to change us from disbelief to belief, to faith and to joy and to love. In Christ's name, amen. As our musicians...